ADR. My name's Tom. And on your last transmission was a lot of noise, but I'll listen again. KB4CBA N0TR. Good morning, Dave, then pass it back.
Mr. Tom, how are you, sir?
Just finding frog hair split three ways. Just polished off some beautiful egg and hash browns and sausage and a cup of coffee. You can't beat it. Over to that other gentleman now, and we'll listen for your signal again.
Better now?
No, sir. It's horrible. It sounds like a motorboating capacitor or something's gone out in your radio. It's sort of like an M60 machine gun or whatever. Along with your signal. Back to you.
All right, again, this is a new radio. I'm still trying to get it set up. I appreciate it. This is M4WHM clear.
Yes, sir, and I'm sorry to give you that report, and you're welcome here anytime, but, oh, that's pretty horrible. And I'm sorry to see that. Dave, go ahead. You can give a signal report.
Yeah, the same thing. It's funny. It seemed to slow down there right at the end of his transmission, that last one.
Who was that guy yesterday, the truck driver? Or what's his name? Bernice? Oh, Dad Bernard Greg or something like that. I forget his name now. He's always out. He used to work on overhead doors. I think he went back to it. Kevin. Yeah, Kevin. And his signal was that way yesterday. Terrible.
Kevin, yeah, his did need a little work. but anyway, maybe you can figure out what's going on.
Like that. Machine gun like. God help us, we hope not. It's a beautiful day, and it is Easter. And I got 69 degrees with 22% humidity. And south, or just about a westerly wind, gusting to 4 to 7 miles an hour. Can't beat a deal like that.
Supposed to get up to about 70 today. I'm been to church. I'm on my way home. And, anyway, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. I see a cloud in the sky.
It's been that way the next, I think, 3 or 4 days. Until next Thursday, I think. Well, we're going to get our new dishwasher delivered next week. I got a foot doctor appointment on Monday. And I think we might have an appointment with Aldi's and maybe Costco's or Sam's. Haven't made up her mind. But that's the plan of the day, as the old Navy used to say.
That's the one phrase my wife uses a lot. You know, she'll say, "What's the plan?" She's asking me what I'm doing today. She'll say, "What's the plan?" That's the way she says it. But anyway, I tell you, every time I talk to you, it sounds like you're eating, and it all sounds good. When you first got on there, you were talking about eating something, and I'm surprised you stay as thin as you do.
5 miles a day, lift weights, and go to the gym. What else, Bernice?
Right.
Play tennis. That does it for me, Dave. Well, I am going to mow the grass today on the riding lawnmower.
Yeah, my yard's not big enough for a rod mower. I can't really justify buying one. And the little Honda I've got is self-propelled, and it's a nice mower. I mean, it seems to cut the grass very evenly, and yeah, I can bag it, or I can bolt it, or it's even got an attachment where it'll, you know, sling it out like the old mowers used to do, and so you can just do it any sort of way. It's an overhead valve, so it takes 1030 oil, which is odd for a mower. You know, we used to put that non-detergent in there because the detergent oil would, you put detergent oil in those old mower engines, they would, you know, it would kind of aerate it, and it would lose lubrication and damage the engine. So, but now these overhead valve ones take 1030, or at least mine does, and the only thing is I was looking for a drain plug on it, and it doesn't have one. You have to turn it upside down to drain the oil out of it. I looked it up because I thought maybe I was missing something.
The TR. Well, I got to tell you, that cockeyed thing Bernice has got is the same way. It's a Honda. And I was amazed at that particular problem. Guys, the new John Deere's riding lawnmowers like my son-in-law got, the oil and everything's in the filter thing, and you just take the other one off, screw that one on, and you're good to go. Now mine, you got to take the filter off and drain it, and drain the filter, of course, where it's going to leak all over. But that's a nice feature, but it didn't come out till about a year after I got mine, but it really makes them nice. Honda's a good engine, good mower, but that's definitely a bad thing. I'm sitting here watching 50-3 Revan, and they're showing how they fit these Arai crash helmets for riders on, and of course they're Snell approved and all. It's pretty amazing how far they've come with crash helmets nowadays.
KB4CBA. Yeah, I hope I never have to use one. I mean, you know, actually check the functionality. I wear one when I'm on the motorcycle, but I don't want to find out if it works or not.
For one severe hit, and then you should replace it, because the stuff inside is built to crush. But yeah, they're showing road racers and some of those severe crashes they're in and how they survived it. And boy, many times when they're laying way down like that and they go down, their head's one of the first things to hit. I've tried out a couple of different crash helmets and got a little road rash on my last Bell helmet. but never had a horrible crash.
I tell you, I've never gone down on a motorcycle, believe it or not. The only wreck I ever had was on my uncle's moped, and of course I wasn't wearing the helmet, and I was in this neighborhood, you know, near where I grew up. I was just riding around. I knew the road, and I knew there was a sharp curve right there, and I was looking down at the moped for some reason, you know, just kind of checking it out, I guess. And I looked up, and doggone, I was in that curve, and there was a car parked right there in the road, and I couldn't, it was curving to the left, and I could not get around that car. So I had to go right and go into a ditch. And, of course, as soon as the front tire went off the pavement, it threw me through the windshield. And and I landed in, my left shoulder landed in some tar and gravel, and they took gravel out of my shoulder for about 45 minutes, and I don't know, it was one of these urgent care places, and anesthesia for that either. They just, I think the lady was just being mean. They could have given me a little anesthesia, but I guess she just wanted me to suffer through it.
Gerald TR. I doubt that seriously. Like a good cut, they'll sit there and scrub on that cut without giving you any anesthetic. Before they can give you anesthesia, they have to have an anesthesiologist present. And that's not always an option, Dave.
Well, they could have just, you know, shot it with the numbing stuff, whatever they use. But, I mean, I remember when I cut my hand. I cut my hand at church. You wouldn't believe it. It was Sunday evening. We called it church training back then. It was the Sunday evening version of Sunday school, and it was hot, and they didn't have any air, and so I was going to open the window. It was a big old window, and it was painted shut, so I was banging on that thing, you know, how you bang up with the palms of your hand, and one of my right hand went through the glass, and when it broke, it jabbed into my right behind my thumb there, and it cut it pretty deep. It was bleeding profusely. So the teacher took me to the ER, and, you know, that doctor, he stuck that needle right down in the middle of that cut to numb it. And but after that, I just sat there and watched him stitch it up.
Yeah, they did that with my big toe when they took a hangnail out. And I like to wet my britches. They just held my leg down real solidly and stuck that needle right down the center of my big toe. Oh, my gracious, that hurt. Well, in reality, when you go to confession, you'll have to admit that the way you got that cut was you had your hand in the collection box and the priest reached out there and smacked your hand with it, something that had a sharp edge on it.
Funny. I'll tell you, well, I learned not to do that anymore. I don't think I've done that to a window since. You know, if it won't open, I'll find another way to get it open. My hand. I just thought I was, you know, being helpful, and I was in my teens, I don't remember, 16 probably, years old, and maybe 17. But it was a memory. I asked the doctor, I said, can I play guitar after this? And he goes, oh, yeah, you'll be able to play guitar. And I said, well, good, because I'm really struggling playing it now. So he just laughed. So. But I've been playing guitar since I was about 10, I guess. But anyway, well, I'm in the garage, so I guess I'll bail out here on you and go inside and see if I can help the wife. We are expecting a bunch of people over for lunch, so she probably needs some help getting ready. But anyway, good to talk to you. 73s. I'll stick around for your final N0TRKB4CBA.
Okay, Dave. As always, nice to talk to you. And hope you have a great Easter and meal. And we always eat late of a morning, usually, unless we're going someplace. So that's why we have a brunch on Sunday, usually biscuits and gravy, but we didn't today. We had another beautiful breakfast that my wonderful wife made. And then we only eat one other meal in the afternoon. And like yesterday, she made some homemade ham salad and had a bowl of butter beans with it and some cornbread. And that's all we had. So two meals a day. Maybe that helps. Anyways, take care. And 73's name. KB4CBA and 0GR's clear.
M4WHM radio test.
Good morning again. This is Tom in 0TR, and it's still extremely bad. It has that noise in it. I wonder if it could be your power supply.
Trouble with it before, but that doesn't mean it's not now. So let me swap radios real quick and see if the problem changes. Thank you, Tom.
If you'd like me to play back what I'm hearing, I can run downstairs and record it for you real quick.
Let me change the radio. I can do that real quick. This is a new radio, so it just may be bad out of the box.
Yeah, it's at the level, and this is an estimation on my part, of a huge 60-cycle hum. Sort of like a fluorescent light that's went bad.
HM and 0TO.
They are. Bill, yes, it's still there. So I'd almost say it's the power supply, wouldn't you? Now, what kind of power supply are you running?
PS36.
That's an old analog, isn't it? Could be the filter capacitor in it's gone kaplunk.
Let me, I got another smaller power supply. Let me make some changes because I swapped the radio and no change. So, process of elimination. I appreciate it.
No, it's no problem, Bill. Your signal in the past has been good, but, man, this is terrible. I can hear your audio, but the hum is really horrible. All right, see you in a little bit if I'm around here. I'm reading an article right now in the paper, so I should be in 0TR.
Hey, Jim, clear.
Form 2 Tango Bubble.
They're terrible signal. Happy Easter. Good morning, Rusty.
And happy Easter to you, Tom and Bernice. And I'm just headed home from church, thinking about that nice pot roast that's been in the crock pot cooking all that night, and the potatoes I added to it this morning, the onions. And also, I'm going to have me a good lunch today.
Rusty, well, I've been trying to help Bill in November 4, Whiskey Hotel, my WHM down in Hartwell, on here, so if you hear him, let him jump in. He's changing power supplies now, I think. And I've about come to the conclusion that's what it is. It's a horrid 60-cycle hum, so quite possibly the filter capacitor in that has gone bad. Well, sound like you had a great start to the day. We had eggs and sausage and hash browns and a cup of coffee and toast. And Bernice made a picture-perfect breakfast or brunch today. We don't get around till late on Sunday, usually.
Hey, I don't usually eat till 9:30 or 10 o'clock during the week. And I eat early on Sunday because I have to be at church early. Had to be there earlier today since I was opening and closing today. And so I had to get in there about 8:45 and turn on all the lights and set all the heat, like the thermostats like they're supposed to, and all of that good stuff, and open the doors and get everything ready for the church to be used, and got that done, and then sang in the choir today, and then afterwards I locked everything and just now headed around to the house. So anyway, but yeah, I found a went to Publix yesterday, and they had about a 2.25-pound eye round roast that had a good price on it. And I got that and put that in a crock pot last night with a nice bag of onions, these pearl onions. And this morning I put a couple of cans of potatoes in it and had a can of little can of diced tomatoes last night. Put my seasonings in there and seasoned the meat and everything else. So it was, the meat was already done this morning before I left the house, but had to finish cooking the potatoes. So I imagine everything will be just fine when I get home.
Jimmy, you know, our daughter, she don't like tomatoes, of course, and probably supports this theory, but Bernice makes a, what do you call that round steak when you do it, Bernice? Swiss? Swiss steak? Is that what it is? Trying to figure that out. But anyways, round steak is very frugal, and which I don't care one way or the other on that, but you don't have to eat filet mignon every day, you know, and or ribeyes. But it's good, but Dad, he always ran that through the tenderizer, and you can buy these, what we used to call tube steaks at Ingles and that. But we just, once in a while, she'll buy a round steak, and then she just beats the heck out of it with this tenderizer hammer I bought her. And boy, it was just about the same ingredients you mentioned. It's just tender. She does it like you, in the crock pot. You just cut it with your fork. Oh, that's good.
Well, yeah, I like a good, steak fix that way, too. And I haven't done that in a while. This Iron Rail Roast, they, Publix had it on special for $5.99 a pound yesterday. So for about a little over $11, I had a nice steak, you know, a nice roast to go into it. So I thought that was a good deal. And they were running it on special. And it's good. Like I said, I've already tasted the meat and all. And I got a call on that about 3 o'clock this afternoon on 20 meters. I'm going to see what that goes. Seems the Polish contest is over. I think it's over now. So I won't have to fight that. I'll just have to see who else I'll have to fight to find me a frequency this afternoon. Well, Tom, good to hear you. Hello to Bernice. And I am pulling in the driveway. So I will talk to you later. N0TR W2T 73.
Okay, Rusty. You have a good day. Let me catch you down the line. You know, I didn't hear very many Sierra Papas on there. I'm surprised. I didn't work any, because that's usually an easy country to work, because there's a zillion hams there in Poland. Anyways, take care and have a good day. W2T and 0TR 73.
WHM radio test.
Clear.
Bill, that was much, much better than the other one, but throw out a longer transmission this time. This is N0TR.
Bumped it back out for my smaller power supply, little 19 amp Radio Shack power supply that I've been using. And I had that other power supply for years and pulled it out the closet and used it, and it seemed to work fine for a while, but it must have some problems. So hopefully this power supply not giving any background noise.
Well, Bill, it's just a teeny, teeny, tiny bit of popcorn in there, but it may just be in the repeater or the propagation. But as the other person, whom I don't know who he is, said, I think I heard somebody say it's clear. But I was kind of waiting on you, and you solved the ambiguity there. If the other station's still there and wants to join in, go ahead. This is N0TR Tom talking with N4WHM Bill.
Hey, 2SST Ronnie. Yeah. Good to listen to you, and power supply is working well. Sounds clear here.
And the little white noise or popcorn may be, I'm in Hartwell, so I'm making a pretty good trip to the repeater. So if that's what I got, then I'll be satisfied with it. I appreciate the response, comments and the feedback. And Tom, thanks for mentioning the power supply. It was kind of a bear to change on my desk. I got wires everywhere right now, so I'll have to redo it, straighten it out, and make it neat again.
Yeah, well, glad to help. It just sounded much like a motorboating capacitor, so just get in there and there'll probably be, I can't say for certain on the pyramid, probably a capacitor of 1,000 or 2,000 mics right there attached to the positive lead of the output in that area. You'd probably have to get somebody a little more knowledgeable than me on that, but if you can't find one anywhere else, Bill, I probably would have one in my accumulation of years of stuff down there that is good, and would gladly give it to you if you happen to need that particular item.
Is that Tom? That's very generous, but I think this little 19 amp seems to have served me well for a couple of years, and it seems to be doing okay, so I'll play with it and see what I can do. It does all I need to do for one radio, so I'm satisfied with it. But thank you again, and I may see if I can find somebody that can work on that pyramid and see if I can get it repaired. Finding somebody that works on that stuff's a little hard, especially in Hartwell.
Well, if you're up this way, bring it up to me. But I'm retired, and I don't get in a hurry. But I'll be glad to take a look at it for you. I'm no RF person, but I do know power supplies pretty well. You can probably go to the internet and print out a schematic of it, which is helpful. And you're welcome to drop it by up here, and I'm good in QRZ, Bill. I'll take care of it for you, but you got to provide the gasoline and the mileage to get it here. And I've been vaccinated, and the wife has too, so you're welcome to bring it up here if you can't find anybody closer.
Yeah, I've been vaccinated myself. I work in higher ed over at the University of Georgia, and we got our Johnson & Johnson shot 2 weeks and 2 days ago, so hopefully I'm good there. But I'll dig around and see if I can find somebody that can work on it. And if I can't, we do make occasional trips to Greenville. When I used to work at Clemson University, that was a Greenville was our getaway. Stay downtown at the Poinsett and enjoy downtown. So I'll see what I can do there. I truly, truly appreciate it, Tom. And if there's anything I can ever do to repay the favor, just for the offer, I'm happy to.
Oh, it's no problem, Bill. The old analog ones, I know something about, but the switch mode power supplies, you throw them in the ditch because they're not repairable in my estimation. And I would not charge you hams. We're not supposed to do that, and I wouldn't think of taking anything for it. And I don't do very many, so don't recommend me to a whole bunch of people, but I'd be glad to help you out. And we'll catch you down the line. You take care, Bill. N4WHM, this is N0TR, and back over to, I think it was November 4 SS2, and I remember you because I think you're a little older than I am.
See, when you first got here, did they have dirt?
No, I think it was volcanic ash.
Older than me, because they were bringing in dirt when I got here. Age is 86.
It's wonderful. I sure hope I can make it that long. If I can keep getting out of bed. And is it N4SST, Leslie Powell?
K2SST. I'm in Etowah, just outside of Hendersonville.
K2SST. And, Ronnie, yeah. I should remember that. My elderly brother is named Ronnie. And, yeah, let's see, it's Hendersonville. Well, Ronnie's good to hear you this morning. Congratulations on that 86. I'm 73, and I think I was near the Neanderthal area. You might have been Cro-Magnon.
When I got here, they had gotten rid of the rock and chisel, and they were using quills.
They had a Fred Flintstone mobile.
There you go. I retired at 62. They said, stay around till 65, you'll get more money. And I thought, well, I don't know if I'll be alive at 65. People are making it to 65, 67, maybe 70, and they die. I wish I had known I'd live this long. Would have worked a little longer, made some better investments. Not that I have any problem. I'm living within my means, which are pretty good. But I could have been living better, you know, if I only knew. And I had worked on a union job, and they knew there was an increase coming in the retirement. But if they told me, it was like insider information, and they could go to jail for it. So after I got it, they said, well, we couldn't tell you.
Heard that before. Our nephew was a CEO of a drug company, and he absolutely would tell you zero about any type of investments in his company or anything else for that matter. And we love him dearly, but he said, Tom, he said, the Fed's maybe monitoring my phone. He says, I can't do that. And he never did. And that's like telling the pilot in command that he ought to go ahead and fly over the top of a cloud cover when he doesn't have the rating for instruments. Mike was that way, and he was the pilot in command. And honest as the day is long. Oh, boy. Well, Ronnie, I hope you're having a beautiful day. It's 72 out there with 19% humidity. That's Las Vegas.
Really liked about living here in the mountains. When I go to visit my sister-in-law in Florida, been there at one time, the temperature was 96, humidity was 96%. Came home here, opened the front door and the patio doors, and just let the breeze blow through the house. Living in the mountains is nice.
Yes, I suspect it would be. I wish we was rich and could afford a home up there, but I don't think my wife would like that too well. But I used to ride a motorcycle some when I was younger, and I really loved going down in the Ouachita National Forest and that. It was very similar to our mountains here. Not anything like the Rockies, but oh, they would get up to 2,500 feet, I guess, down around Mena and Ritz Mountain, and it was beautiful. I really enjoyed it. You know, the other night, security light went on the back of the chicken house, and it's quite a ways back there, and so I always looked for varmints to dissuade them, and I took, I can't remember the name of it, but it's LED, and it's extremely bright. And I always just kind of do a sweep back there like the prisms do with their searchlights to make sure nothing's eating my chickens. And I seen this stuff in the air, Ronnie. And it looked like the no-see-sums down at Clearwater or something like that, you know. And I got to thinking, that's not bugs. That was pollen. And my wife has bad allergies. And so I quickly shut the window, and I never seen pollen like that. So that's the only drawback about opening the windows.
See, yeah, if you have bad allergies, it's a problem. My my two kids have allergies, and when they were young, they got to cut the grass. And well, my daughter is a manipulator because she'd go in and said, "Daddy says you have to cut the grass," to her brother, you know. But the two of them would go out there, and the tears running down their eyes, down their face, and they're cutting the grass. They go in the house, I'll cut the grass. Now, some people have it extremely bad. My neighbor, I lived in the north, my neighbor, she used to lay in the grass for a suntan. And I saw the car in front of her house. I called up, I said, "Ain't you going to work today?" She said, "I can't, my eyes are almost closed. I have to get to the doctor." The pollen or the grass, whatever it was, made her eyes swell up. There are some people that are just allergic to stuff. I have arthritis, and it's affected by food. So I ate something last week, and my ankle is bothering me. It's clearing up now. And other people, I mean, they could probably walk through a smoke-filled room and come out the other side and say, "What's the problem?"
10-0-TR with K2, Sierra Tango. Yeah, Ronnie, I know what you mean by that. I never did have a lot of allergies to my knowledge, but I would stop up real bad because I have a nostril that's much smaller than the other one. And they actually wanted to operate on it one time when I was in the service. But I said, "Nope, we're not doing that. The good Lord gave me that, and I'm keeping it." Bernice had them allergy tests a few years back, and it seemed like she was allergic to a lot of them. But she was a farmer. I took her off the farm when she was 18, and I was 19. And in the service at the time, and headed to our senior cruise in South Vietnam with my brother. But we had about 6 months out in California. Didn't seem to bother her out there any. The boy down here, it's allergy heaven. I'll tell you, we can't gripe. We've been here about going on 11 years now. And this is the land of Oz. That's, you spell that A-H-S. And we come from the land of O-Z, and that's Oz. And I guarantee you, we like the Oz down here much, much better than we did in the land of Oz.
I had known nothing about the South. Well, I know very little about the South. When I got drafted, I went to Fort McClellan in Anniston, Alabama. And I had hopes of going to Fort Monmouth because I lived in New Jersey. But I took the battery test. I did good on electronics, but obviously not well enough because they said, "Oh, you have did very good on electronics." I got my orders, report to Chemical Corps, Anniston, Alabama. I failed chemistry. I don't know why I'm going to Chemical Corps. But when I got there, I would talk to anybody that listened. I don't know anything about chemicals. I know a little bit about electronics. I'm a licensed amateur operator. I don't know anything about chemicals, but they kept teaching me. And come graduation time, they said, "How would you like to stay at the school to maintain the radios?" I said, "Oh, what's entailed to it? I'd like to stay at the school." Well, it was simple maintenance. I didn't have to actually repair them. It was changing tubes and soldering some wires. It was something anybody could do that knew a little bit about electronics. So I stayed at the school for 2 years and came home.
Sir, well, that's great, Ronnie, to fall into something like that. I went through nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. I think most everybody had to at the time back when I was in the 60s. And I'll never forget it, I'll tell you for sure. And those were horrible weapons. I felt really good about our company up there in Kansas. We built some kilns that were made out of Inconel, which has an extremely high melting point, has a lot of nickel and I'm trying to think of the other ingredients in a chrome. And it's very dangerous to weld if you can't get the proper ventilation. But they weren't near as big a kilns as we made for coal industry and sugar industry and places like that. But they were probably 6 foot in diameter and very long. And they were being created to build a plant out in Tooele, Utah, and some other places up in Washington. And it was to get rid of all of those chemical weapons from World War II that they're leaking, you know, like some of the artillery shells and some of the 55-gallon barrels and that. And they would drop them into this kiln, of which I wired the lubrication system, which was double redundant. Everything had to have double redundancy because once they were put into this room, nobody could ever go back into that room because I guess one drop of that stuff would kill a lot of people. And we built those. So I felt really good about that. And they actually built the site there. And then once all that stuff was done, it was left there. I don't know how many years it'd be before it was decontaminated, but you couldn't even remove it. But we had several welders get sick because they didn't have the proper ventilation. But nobody died, but one guy was 20-some years old. They took him to the hospital with cardiac problems, and he didn't have any cardiac problems. But I was proud of us building those and getting to help wire them.
PID. Through your life, you may get involved with things that are dangerous. I was a truck driver most of my life, and I didn't haul. I had moved materials that were dangerous, but I didn't handle hazardous materials. But if you remember Love Canal up in New York State, they decided to build on a dump area, and they had people going through mud and blue water, and a lot of those people died. That stuff was so contaminated that when they made Love Canal, I think they put 6 feet of dirt on top of it. And some politicians said, they don't need all that dirt. We could use that to fill something else in. So they scraped it down, and then they decided to build on it. Like I said, you know, sometimes you don't realize how bad things are and how fortunate you are you didn't have anything to do with them. When I was in service, I had used to put in low-yield units of uranium for the class on Geiger counters. We worked with all of the poison gases. We looked at germ warfare in the lab. We didn't do anything outside. You know, so you don't know how fortunate you are that you didn't get involved with all these things that could kill you.
I don't fully trust our government because we've seen some of those things they done back then. There was a town just outside of St. Louis, Missouri that way, and they had all over that place, and they had to go in and actually scrape all of the soil out and then replace it with new soil. And I do remember Love Canal, and there's been several other instances of that nature that are very memorable that you and I can remember. That these kids nowadays, they don't have any concept of some of the things that went on, like the nerve gas during World War I, and wow, it's just totally amazing. We can appreciate the fact that we are still here, Ronnie.
But we still made it. Well, I keep telling I have a favorite statement that I make to doctors. Do what you can to keep me alive, because I want to stay alive as long as they send money. If they don't send money, you're not going to get paid.
Yeah, and it seems like everything that the government gives away, which they're doing a lot of now, you know, it isn't the government giving that to you. It comes out of somebody else's pocket.
That's going to get involved with it. There's too many bureaucrats in there that want to have their hands out. A lot of things should be handled by private industry. There's some things that should be handled by the government, so you have that the United States oversight. But a lot of these other things be handled much better by private industry. But all of the politicians, they all want to get their hands in it. So, no, let it go through the government because I can attach this to it, I can attach that to it, and I can make money, my state or my county or whatever can make money. So if some of these things they would put into private industry, the public would come out much better.
It's the fact we have the best politicians money can buy. It ain't like it used to be. It's the golden rule, Ronnie. Those with the gold make the rules.
An old one. When cows run out of milk, then they put a bull in the field to serve the cow. So you know what you're getting.
Unfortunately, I used to do a lot of hunting up in Kansas, and I can attest to that fact. At any rate, politics is something to avoid, and I guess we'll go to something else. Well, it looks like, reading your bio, that you were a ham when I was 8 years old.
Has to get here first to lead the way. And evidently, I did a good job in leading the way, because you have did well over the years, and you're doing well now. But you don't have to thank me. It's just one of those things people like I do.
And that's the height of conceit, Ronnie. I always tell some of my friends when I see them, I learned this from my best friend back in Kansas, and whenever he'd get ready to go home, he'd say, "I'm glad you got to see me, Tom."
Some people just have a way with words, and unfortunately, you know, you live a long time, and all those people leave. Yeah. But there's some things you just you get from some people. They just have a natural knack to do things. And you say, I wish those people would stay around forever. But nobody stays forever. But at least you got something from them that you could pass on.
Exactly right. I had a friend back in Kansas that was my neighbor. And we were closer than my dad was, and he was always jealous of that. But his name was Merle Hicks. And Merle taught me things that virtually saved my lives as an electrician and as a technician. And he wasn't an electrician, but he could do anything. He could weld, he could braze, he could engineer. He was a gunsmith. But he never did have a lot of ambition to take it to the next degree, whereas his kids, what they learned from him, become multimillionaires. But I feel like that I'm a multimillionaire from the knowledge that Merle will give me, and I'll always be thankful that I was fortunate enough to live by such a man.
There are people who, for whatever reason, don't want to use what they have. Tell me when you got to get off, because you're retired, I'm retired, but you may have something to do. I don't have anything to do. I have a lot to do, I just don't feel like doing it. When I was in Greenwich Village, there was a fellow that used to be in Washington Square, Washington Park, and he would sing at night, and he sounded like Mario Lanza. You could hear this voice drifting through through the air at night. He just had such a nice voice. He was approached to sing in Carnegie Hall, and this guy wore a Garrison belt, and I don't remember if he had blouse pants or what, but I always remember that Garrison belt, and they wanted him to sing in Carnegie Hall. So I don't want to go in there, you know. And you'd hear this guy sing, you'd be blocks away, and you could just hear his voice going through the air. My brother was a natural artist in pencil. He'd take cartoons out of the newspaper and just draw them. He didn't want to do that, you know. Some people have an ability to do things, but they just don't want to do it. Okay, to us, SD.
TR. Ronnie, that's so true. I think one of the most memorable things I ever had in school, and I've been to a lot of schools, but never did get a degree, but I had a black master sergeant who, to me, really stood out, because back in Pittsburgh, Kansas, we only had four or five black families, and they were very poor, and they were very good people, and two of them were my friends also. But this guy just, you know, I thought, well, why would he help me, you know? And he looked at me one day, and he says, Tom, you didn't, or, well, I don't call you by Tom. He said, Rouse, you didn't understand that, did you? And I said, well, no, Sergeant. And he says, you got that dumb look on your face, but he didn't say it that way, but I had that look on my face, I know. And we was doing transistor theory at the time, and I never knew anything about that when I started school down there in Jacksonville. And he says, you know, in my class, the only, he says, why didn't you ask anything? I said, well, I didn't want to sound stupid in front of all these, a lot of them were reservists that were college, and everything was a piece of cake to them. And I had to stay up studying until 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and then go back to school the next morning. And he says, the only stupid question in my class is one that goes unasked. And don't you forget it. And you stay after class and we'll get this to where you pass it. And you remember guys like that.
If I were to call out, like right now, if I were calling out to the person and say, I got this problem, what would you do?
The transmission went way down in the dirt. I couldn't hardly hear that if that was you.
Not a station on here. Not a station. Would you come back? Couldn't hear you. When I gave classes, well, there was two things that they told us. The first thing is, never give anybody an answer to a question that you don't actually know. You know, don't say, oh, it's this. If you don't know it's that, your statement is always, I'm not sure about that. I'll get the answer and I'll give it to you next time at the next class. And the other thing was, when you gave a class, I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but you said something like, you know, some of you are not going to understand this, and you feel that you're dumb. The only person that is dumb is the one that won't ask a question. So if you don't understand something, you're not dumb. You're stupid if you don't ask a question. And that's the way I would start off a class.